Hello, everyone. Welcome to Shock It Presents Movie Night. My name is Rudy Obias. I'm your host. And joining me is...
Perry Nemiroff.
It seems like it's been a while since we got together to talk about a movie, but...
Is it Breaking Dawn?
I think that was the last time we talked about a movie was Breaking Dawn. That seemed like months ago.
Thanksgiving already seems like months ago.
Yeah, it does. And actually, 2011 is coming to a close. And it seems like what happened to this year? You know, like we're getting ready for 2012 already.
I feel like there's not enough like to be considered for awards at this point either.
Yeah, well, I'm actually thinking about doing like a top 10 or top 5 bonus episode later on in the month. So listeners, we'll keep you posted on that, and we'll definitely talk about the big movies that are our top 10 list and the award movies coming out this year. But we're talking about two movies that are coming out this Friday on December 9th. The first movie that we're going to be talking about is the new movie directed by David Gordon Green, starring Jonah Hill. This is The Sitter, which is kind of what I would see as a remake of Adventures in Babysitting, but somehow it's not. Here's a synopsis from IMDb.com, a comedy about a college student on suspension who is coaxed into babysitting the kids next door, though he is fully unprepared for the wild night ahead of him. So that really does sound like Adventures in Babysitting. And this is actually the second movie from David Gordon Green to come out this year, and the first being Your Highness, which was, as it stands right now, the worst movie of the year for me. Is that one. I'm not sure if this one fares any better. Perry, what are your thoughts on The Sitter?
It's definitely better than Your Highness by quite a bit. But I was just incredibly disappointed because the trailer for this was so funny. And they released a few trailers for this movie. And each trailer basically had, you know, the same jokes over and over. But every time a new trailer came out, I sat there and I watched it and enjoyed it. But when I saw it in full, you know, the jokes just don't hit as hard. The trailers were really fast-paced and well-cut to highlight the comedy. And the film wasn't really done in the same fashion. It's like we would get a joke and the next cut was too slow. And you were kind of like dangling in that awkward feeling for a while where then the joke really lost its steam. But there were just a lot of plot holes too. Like when you just read the synopsis, it made me think about how Jonah Hill's character in it had absolutely no backstory at all, because you mentioned that he got kicked out of school. I actually left that detail out of my review because it kind of went right over my head. I never realized why he was home. I don't know if maybe I just like tuned out for a quick second or something, but they never fleshed that out at all. I don't know why he got kicked out of school, but He never really amounts to very much. And it's exactly what that synopsis suggests. He babysits these kids. They get into typical crazy shenanigans. And, you know, he comes out and, you know, wins your heart. And they have those happy moments with the kids. But
yeah,
it's all like exactly what you would expect.
Actually, you are right in the fact that I think that this movie does have a lot of heart. And mainly that's one of the few things going for this movie. This movie is 81 minutes long, but it really feels longer than that for some reason.
Oh my God, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's hard to make an 81-minute movie feel so like just slow and lumbering along. I actually kind of agree with you a little bit with the fact that the trailers for this movie sold this movie as if it were something like a Pineapple Express or The Hangover type of movie, something really wild and funny and exciting. And really, I think this movie is more of a character study of Jonah Hill, of this character that he is, this Noah Griffith, this kind of nice guy that always finishes last. And everything that he does in this movie is pretty consistent with that idea of a nice guy trying to make everyone happy except himself. And if you watch it like that, you might find some enjoyment out of it. But overall, I think that they were really trying to hit the comedy of this movie But it really does just fall flat. And I saw this in a pretty packed theater, and the laughs in this were pretty sparse. And you, before we started recording, you said that you saw this in a screening room, and there weren't many people. Were people laughing during this movie when you were watching it?
No, not really. But it was just me and three other people.
And I find that strange that I was in a full theater and there was hardly any laughing during this movie. This is somewhat of a disappointment because in any other year, two David Gordon Green movies would sound like a good idea. David Gordon Green being one of my favorite filmmakers, making smaller movies like George Washington and Snow Angels and Undertow, these genre dramas, really heavy characters and heavy themes. But it seems lately with his past three movies, Your Highness, Pineapple Express, and now The Sitter, it seems like this guy is not really living up to his potential.
The directing in this is really uninspiring, too. At the beginning, there's a pretty, you know, jazzy opening sequence for the credits where there's some pretty cool camera movements, slick stuff. But the rest of the film is really just incredibly basic. Like, he was just out to get his coverage, and that's that.
The movie starts off pretty promising, I felt. It starts off really raunchy, and everyone in my theater, at least, was really laughing because it was a pretty interesting way to start this movie. But it really does lose steam after the first 5 minutes when we meet these kids. And I can say that everyone in this movie is pretty unlikable, so it takes a lot for you to actually like them. And I think that's what they were trying to do with the film. But there's just too much unlikability for me to just sign on to it. So I had to think about how was David Gordon Green presenting the ideas and characters in this movie. So I thought of it as a character study, that David Gordon Green is somehow subverting the ideas of what you would typically get in this kind of movie. But in the end, I really do feel that this movie falls entirely flat.
I can't believe Sam Rockwell signed on to do that. His character was like absolutely absurd.
His character was absurd, but his moments in the movie were like a little shimmering bright lights for me because I actually did like when he was on screen, but I felt that there was a better movie here. And just the fact that this movie was 81 minutes long doesn't really justify it. Because it really has to be like a snappy 81 minutes. Like 81 minutes is not a long time to be in a movie theater, but this movie just seems like it's so drawn out.
I'm really blown away by the fact that it was 81 minutes. Normally I always look up the running time just because I need to know. Mm-hmm. But for this one, I didn't. And now that you're saying it, I cannot believe I was only in that theater for 81 minutes. It felt like a 2-hour movie.
I know, right? Yeah, it felt like the longest movie imaginable, and which shouldn't happen when it's supposed to be the zany comedy, and then it's only 81 minutes. As soon as the credits started rolling, I just left the theater because they checked all of our phones. And usually I do a good job about hiding that kind of thing, that I say I don't have a phone and they let me in anyway. But they checked me and they found my phone, so I had to check it. And so as soon as the credits started rolling, I booked for the doors just so I can get my phone so I wouldn't have to wait in that god-awful long line. I guess that says a lot about this movie, that I was just so anxious to leave.
Yeah, I ran out pretty quick, too.
Definitely disappointing. Very, very disappointing film.
That's a shame. It had a lot of potential, too. And those kids are pretty talented actors.
Yeah, Max Records, especially. He was in Where the Wild Things Are and a small little role in The Brothers Bloom a couple years ago. And he was actually kind of a bright spot of this movie. And if the one positive thing I would say was probably the kid, Max Records, who plays one of the kids, Slater, the oldest out of these kids. I actually thought he had a good performance, and I can actually see that kid grow when he grows up to be a tremendous actor.
I think that his character's plot points were maybe a little too heavy for this movie, especially in the way they were presented and kind of almost like thrown in your face. But that doesn't mean anything in terms of his performance, which I think was as best as it could be with the material.
Yeah, I think thinking about how heavy the plot points that were for his character, it seemed like every character in this, it just the tone was just completely off for what this film was kind of presenting. And it felt like David Gordon Green and Jonah Hill wanted to have their cake and eat it too, but it just says a lot to me that in a theater full of people, no one laughing at the jokes when I know this is supposed to be funny. It's just not really hitting. And it's kind of disappointing.
I have to agree.
All right. The next movie that we're going to be talking about in this episode is the new movie from writer Diablo Cody, who won the Oscar for Best Original Screenplay back in 2007 for the movie that she wrote, Juno. And this is also directed by the same director of Juno, Jason Reitman, Young Adult, starring Charlize Theron. And here's a quick synopsis from IMDb.com. Soon after her divorce, a fiction writer returns to her home in small town Minnesota, looking to rekindle a romance with her ex-boyfriend, who is now married with kids. Well, married with one child, not kids, plural. Perry, what were your thoughts on Young Adults?
Oh my God, I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. And it's Diablo Cody at her best, but the type of humor in the presentation is kind of the slightest bit more mature than Juno, which is appropriate for the character, but still has that immaturity, which is also appropriate for the character. It's a really nice blend of comedy. And then it also just doesn't go to the excess that Jennifer's Body did. Despite how much I love that, I can understand why that turned people off to Diablo Cody's writing.
I like Jennifer's Body. I would say Jennifer's Body, like the writing of Jennifer's Body, was kind of like Juno turned to 11 in a way. And there was actually a point in this movie, and I like Juno, and I actually am a big fan of Diablo Cody and her work on the last thing that she did, a TV show on Showtime, The United States of Tara. There was actually a point in this movie where I actually forgot that Diablo Cody wrote it, because it doesn't have that kind of what people would say would be the signature of her work, these obnoxious ways how people talk, which you don't really get that in this movie. It feels like everyone in this movie feels like a real person, and they don't live in Diablo Cody's world. I like Young Adult quite a bit, just simply for Charlize Theron. Just to have her, as attractive as she is, but still come off so kind of despicable and really unlikable throughout the whole movie, that was kind of a testament to her acting.
That was a lot of fun. That's kind of what made the character too. It's because, like, you know, it's almost an instance of not being able to separate the actress from the character. But seeing this gorgeous woman doing some of the most despicable things, like waking up first thing in the morning and chugging a liter of Diet Coke, yeah. You just look at that and you can't help but to laugh and just be like, this is absolutely insane.
Yeah, and also feeding her little dog, like, these packets of dog food and just leaving them out. This woman is a slob. She's, like, in her, I would assume, like, mid to late 30s, and it doesn't seem like she has her life together, but she is somewhat of a successful ghostwriter writing these young adult series. And I actually thought that was a pretty clever way of integrating the current book that she's writing right now with what's actually going on in the movie, and overall having this kind of a high school feel with the drama, even though these people are far, 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 far removed from high school, but they still kind of fall into those stereotypes of this is the jock, this is the nerd, and this is kind of the princess that you would get in high school. And that's something that I fully enjoyed with this movie as well.
Yeah, the characters in this were all just incredibly colorful. And it's kind of like the fun in real life of, you know, you go to high school with all these people, and then years later you find out where they end up. And it's the same thing here, because while we're only in the present, there's not any flashbacks. You could still totally get such a vivid picture of who these people were way back when, and then also where they are now.
Yeah, that seems to be like the kind of, I guess, the reality of it when you're so far removed from high school and you're a different person. But if you ever meet someone that you went to high school with that you haven't seen in a very, very long time, you kind of still fall into that pattern of how you were when you were in high school. And this movie captures that very well. One of my favorite things of this movie was Patton Oswalt playing this kind of a loser type of guy who kind of worshipped Charlize Theron's character in high school, and now he's kind of like this injured man who makes his own alcohol, makes his own sipping whiskey or bourbon. I found his performance to be very, very well done and kind of true to point. What were your thoughts on Patton Oswalt in this film?
he's absolutely fantastic. And that character kind of becomes the anchor with this film because Charlize Theron's character is so unlikable. I mean, not entirely where you can't engage with her whatsoever, but she's definitely not enough to root for. Whereas he kind of fills that void and she almost works off of that to a point where she becomes likable. But they have some really incredible scenes together. It's just like they have chemistry, but it's such a unique type of chemistry that we've never seen before. And a couple scenes, I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but there are a few scenes between the two of them that I will just never forget in good and bad good kind of ways.
I think I know what scene that you're referring to. And I felt that same way when I did, if it's the same scene, I did feel the same way, which really kind of lends to, for me anyways, my appreciation and liking of this movie. And I think this movie really had me at the beginning when she was starting to write her new book, and her voice as a high schooler really comes out and it does shine through. And just throughout the whole movie, she has these, it seems like she keeps her ear open every time there are high school teenagers around her, just to hear how they talk, and then putting that into her book. And I like that. That was pretty consistent throughout the whole movie. You get a clear impression of this character really early on when we first meet her, not just chugging down the liter of Diet Coke in the morning, but this is going to sound really pretentious, but when she goes into her room and she sees how her clothes are lined up and all the hangers were just so different, I just thought that was just such a great detail. And that detail was kind of throughout the whole movie with her character and the way she presents herself and the way she holds herself. And I just really appreciated that. I really like Patrick Wilson in this movie. And for me, Patrick Wilson is kind of hit or miss. He was one of the bright spots in Watchmen a couple years ago. I didn't see Insidious. He's in Insidious, isn't he?
Insidious, yeah. And I mean, even just beyond him, I loved that movie. That's probably one of my favorites of this year.
And I really liked Patrick Wilson in this movie too. There's actually a really powerful moment in this movie with that everything keeps building and building and building, and it kind of explodes at a kind of a family gathering. And that was really one of the points in the movie where I was just completely sold on it.
They released that scene in a clip, and it almost, like, I want everyone to watch it just because it's going to draw you into the movie big time. And it's a really great clip, but at the same time, I want everyone to experience that in the context of the film, which is just absolutely exceptional.
Yeah. Why do studios release the best parts of the movie in clips to sell the movie?
I don't think that was the best part, but I definitely think that was up there and certainly not worth spoiling just yet. My favorite scene was actually also towards the end that I won't spoil it, though. It's between Charlize Theron and Colette Wolfe, who plays Patton Oswalt's character's sister. And the dialogue in that scene is just spot on. It could not get any better than that.
Yeah, I firmly agree. And I guess it's really a compliment I'm paying to Diablo Cody. There was definitely a point in this movie where I absolutely forgot that she wrote it. It didn't feel like a Diablo Cody script, but that you would traditionally get. But at the same time, the themes and the arcs and the characters are completely Diablo Cody. And I really like this. And I don't know if this is going to be as well received as Jason Reitman's previous film, Up in the Air, and I guess saying that as well with Juno. I mean, I don't see this being nominated for Best Picture like Jason Reitman's Up in the Air and Juno. And I'm not really sure if Diablo Cody would get nominated for Best Screenplay for this. Although I do feel that possibly Patton Oswalt would get nominated for Best Supporting Actor. What are your thoughts?
I don't think anyone's getting anything, but I mean, if I picked the nominees, I would pick it in a heartbeat. But I think it's just the nature of the material. The humor is a little cruder than Juno, which I think is something that's going to keep it out. And, you know, you look at something like Up in the Air, and it's got a much wider appeal and is definitely going to be a little more pleasing to the large majority. Whereas this, you know, parts could insult people. And it's either it's funny or it's not. And I think the large majority will like this and find it incredibly enjoyable and hilarious, but there's definitely that demographic that might keep it away from any awards.
And with these two movies coming out this Friday, The Sitter and Young Adult, they're both rated R, I believe. I would highly recommend Young Adult and stay away from The Sitter.
I'm going to agree, but just in case you can't get to Young Adult this weekend, because I think it's only coming out in like 8 theaters, it is opening wide next weekend. Mm. So if not this weekend, go next weekend.
I didn't know this was not a wide release. Well, I guess that kind of makes sense. Yeah, when it opens in your city or town, please see it. And I actually really liked, I guess, the portrayal of like this really small town and that KFC Pizza Hut, Taco Bell. That was one of my favorite moments in this scene.
In this overall is just incredible in terms of character development, set design, costume design. Everything is just spot on. And Diablo Cody and Jason Reitman should just always work together. He knows exactly what to do with her writing and how to bring out the right things.
Yeah, I firmly agree with that. All right, let's close out this episode of Movie Night. Where can we find you online, Perry Nemiroff?
You can find me at Shockey.com, CinemaBlend.com, Movies.com, and ComingSoon.net. And, of course, on Twitter, my handle is P Nemiroff. That's PNEMIROFF.
And you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Rudy_Obias. That's RUDIE_OBIAS. Shakya.com, AutorCast.com, and everything that is Rudy at RudyObias.com. Again, we're most likely going to have somewhat of a bonus episode just listing what our top 10 or top 5 movies are of the year. Well, maybe top 5 movies of the year and top 5 or bottom 5 worst movies of 2011. But on the next episode of Movie Night, we're going to be talking about Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol, and Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows. So that's two pretty big releases. Well, Mission Impossible doesn't come out until the 21st. So we'll just talk about Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows, the sequel to Guy Ritchie's first film, the previous film, Sherlock Holmes. So closing out this episode of Movie Night, thank you so much for listening to our show. Goodbye. She was dying wherever she goes, says she's gonna get